We want to turn now to aviation, past and present, with a story about the Spitfire, the iconic warplane from World War II.
German fighters waited overhead for the defending planes of the Royal Air Force, the RAF, to appear. They didn't have long to wait.
The Spitfire helped win the Battle of Britain against the Germans in the skies over England in 1940, but more recently, they rolled down the runway at the Duxford Battle of Britain Air Show in 2018.
Builds to a crescendo. Here they are, the Spitfires, on the roll.
That sound. Maybe you made it as a kid holding aloft a model airplane. It'll be heard again next week as a restored World War II-era Spitfire will fly again. On Monday, British pilots Steve Brooks and Matt Jones will take off on an adventure being called the Longest Flight. The goal? To fly around the world, a pilot's Everest. One of them, Steve Brooks, joins us from London. Welcome.
Hi.
You know, we heard a little bit from that sound. People might also be thinking, you know, when I say Spitfire, Snoopy with his goggles, you know, and his red scarf blowing in the wind. Just first remind us, this Spitfire, you know, the place that it holds in the hearts of Brits.
The Spitfire is one of the most iconic, I think, machines that man ever made, really. Because it stands for freedom, it's a flight in itself. Ever since the Wright brothers took off in the States to the sky, people up to that point had said that man will never fly, and they proved that wrong. And so flight has been one of the greatest freedoms of mankind. But the Spitfire was a plane that was built not as an aggressor, but as a defender, to defend freedom. And that job it did. And it didn't just do it in the UK, but it did it across the globe. And so I think when you say Spitfire, it conjures up that sense of overcoming the unovercomable, of fighting the tyranny and winning.
Well, talk about this Battle of Britain. We just heard a little bit of it. It's 1940. Hitler has sent 2,600 Luftwaffe fighters. You know, Germany was thought to have the superior military and certainly air force. And his aim, Hitler's aim, was to destroy the Royal Air Force, the RAF. The RAF only had 640 fighters. And, you know, Goering and Hitler felt this is going to be a snap. We'll just wipe out this air force. And what happened?
Well, what happened is they came up against the Spitfire, which was designed by a man called R.J. Mitchell, who went to Germany when he was not very well. He had cancer, and he was recovering from cancer when he took his son to an air show. And he saw these planes flying. This is about 1935. And he said, oh, my God, there's a new technology here. And these guys, this is aggressive. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to have no defense for it at all. He came home and he was told by his doctors to rest. And he said, I can't rest. I have a job to do. And he worked tirelessly for a couple of years, built the Spitfire and died 6 months later. So he never saw the war, but he knew that he was building something for the freedom of mankind. And that's what he left us.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And what happened when Hitler's Luftwaffe came in is that they were met with wave after wave. It almost, my imagining of it, it's like angry insects, you know, these Spitfires that just kept taking off and going after the Luftwaffe.
Well, yeah, they were fighting for their freedom. And that's what I think that's what the Spitfire stands for. And what we're looking forward to do is going around the world and showing people, letting them hear that Merlin engine for themselves and letting the Spitfire fly around the world again so people can see the glory of it. But we've taken away the guns and we've taken away the camouflage, so you can see the beauty of this machine and the precision engineering of it.
And by the way, was this one of the machines that was in the Battle of Britain? And what happened at the end of that is that the RAF downed almost 2,000 German planes. The RAF lost about half of that, 1,000 planes, but the war took a turn, you know, in Britain's favor. But this plane, this Spitfire, what era is that from?
So this Spitfire is from 1943, and it flew 51 times in the war and 51 missions, and then shortly after the war went to a museum. And so when we rolled it out 3 years ago, it was all there, but it had to be completely rebuilt. So we stripped 80,000 rivets out of it, and with the help of IWC.
80,000? Those little rivets, those like the little screws, 80,000?
Yeah, that's right. Imagine that. 80,000 rivets, all put together by the girls up at Birmingham who built these Spitfires. And we had to drill every one of them out. And then with the help of IWC, which is the International Watch Company, they're obsessed by precision, as are we. Mm. And we've gone through every little panel and piece of the plane and put it all back together. Mm. And so the plane that'll be flying over America will be a totally original machine.
Well, and by the way, I'm assuming people have a mind's eye picture of this. If they don't, I mentioned Snoopy, but it's a single cockpit, snug, and it has specific markings on the wings and fuselage. Can you describe a Spitfire?
Well, the Spitfire, this one is a silver Spitfire. So what we've done is they were made of aluminium. We've polished the aluminium. So it looks like... It is the most iconic shape ever made. And so to see it in the sky, you're going to look up in the sky, going to hear a roar like nothing else. It's the largest petrol engine ever built. And you're going to look up and you're going to see a shape of an elliptical wing, which was the most efficient wing ever designed. And it's just special. It's just different. And what's going to be fun is bringing that to America and showing it to the Americans who really understand aviation in your country. You've got a great understanding of it. And so sharing that with America is going to be fantastic.
Well, first of all, I love hearing a Brit describe something built of aluminum, which is what this plane is made of. Many of the Spitfires have round markings called roundels. This one doesn't. It's the MKIX Mark 9, the silver Spitfire. We'll have pictures at herenow.org. And you are sharing this trip with Matt Jones. So what is the plan? I mean, and what's the rigor of it? Because we're reading a lot of the, you know, press accounts of how rigorous this is. Well, you're going to be flying and landing. So what's the muscular part of it for you guys that makes this a challenge?
Well, it's going to be 27,000 miles to get around the world, 30-odd countries. Well, probably about 100 flights for us because we haven't got a huge range. And so it's going to be day in, day out, keeping the machine going. We'll have an engineer with us. So making sure that the machine's in good condition. It's a 75-year-old machine, and the technology from that era. And so it's going to take a lot of care to look after it.
Well, and in the air, I'm imagining it's going to be noisy. I mean, you, if I understand, flew a helicopter from pole to pole. You've had other flight adventures. But is this one, I mean, when you're actually in the plane, I'm imagining it's going to be noisy. Are you wrestling to keep it? I mean, what's the physicality of flying it, if there is one?
Yeah, it's a very noisy machine. It's a very fast machine. You're sort of 250, 300 miles an hour. And so the noise is very loud and things are happening very quickly in the cockpit. So you just need to be on your game. You've got to know where you're going, what you're going to do when you get there. You just got to be 5 steps ahead of it all the time. It's the most beautiful machine to fly. You sort of wear it like a jacket rather than sit in it. And you, where you look, you go, and it's as if gravity itself falls away. So it's the most beautiful thing to be in, but you do have to be on your game because it all happens very, very quickly.
That's Steve Brooks. By the way, he has a flight school that teaches people how to fly Spitfires. And along with Matt Jones, he's going to fly a vintage Spitfire around the world. We will follow that trip. We'll have more information at herenow.org. Steve, good luck to you and thank you.
Great. And if anyone wants to follow it, if they go onto silverspitfire.com or IWC.com, they'll be able to see where the plane is or in the world and how we're getting on and see the wonderful pictures of how iconic it is.
Steve, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
So the Spitfire, a World War II icon. By the way, earlier I mentioned Snoopy, and I know in the Peanuts comic strip, Snoopy imagines himself as a World War I ace battling Germany's the Red Baron in the skies over Europe, all from atop his doghouse. The Royal Guardsman turned that into a song in 1966. Snoopy fired once, and it fired twice, and that bloody Red Baron went spinning out of sight.